Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator for Orange County, New York Paranormal, and thanks for coming back. Thanks for tuning in again. If you've been with us the whole time, it's been a fun journey where we keep seeing more and more folks tuning in, and it's great. If you're new to the festivities, please subscribe, rate, review on whatever podcast platform you're currently listening to us on. And now there is a video version of this on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page. If the sound of my voice is not enough for you and you want to see me, you can go over to our YouTube channel and Facebook page. If you head over there, like and subscribe, follow us. That way you can follow all of our adventures, not just the episodes of the podcast, but also all of the investigations and events that we do as well. We really appreciate it. And if you're on YouTube, tap the bell, because then you'll get notified every time one of these episodes drops or whenever one of our investigation videos drop. And we've been doing a lot of those investigations lately, so there is a lot coming. If you have been here before and you've watched the video version of this before, I have a different background behind me than I normally do, and it's because I'm not in the place where we normally do these episodes, where we record these. We are on location at Grapevine Farms in Cobleskill, New York. And the reason we're up here, other than the fact that this is the location that we have investigated more than any place we've ever gone, we also wanted to talk to Tracy and Tim Purcell, the owners of Grapevine Farms, because their story, I've always found it interesting. They've owned this building, and they'll tell their story. They're right across from me. They'll tell the story, but I've always been fascinated with their journey, how they came to this location, how they came to this business, and the challenges that came along with it when all of a sudden, you know, it's hard enough to run a business, and then you realize that you have a lot of other guests here and employees that aren't on the tax record that you have to deal with every day. So that's why I've been wanting to talk to Tim and Tracy since the first episode of the podcast. We were finally able to connect. And thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
We really appreciate you taking the time. So I think the first question is just some background. How did you come to this building and start the business? Where was the beginning of that?
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
You want to go ahead and start?
Oh, gosh, no. Ladies first.
Okay, so back in 2001, Tim and I were dating. He fell in love with me instantly. And yes. Actually, on a more serious note, 9/11 occurred. Tim was a flight attendant. And life, as a lot of people know, changed. So Tim didn't want to fly anymore. So he also, at the time, worked at a gift shop. So he decided he wanted to give that a go. So he convinced me to
go along with it.
to get on that train.
We weren't married yet.
We weren't married. We found the building. Well, we looked at a lot of commercial buildings, and nothing fit. Nothing felt right. So when our realtor brought us to this abandoned house, it was...
We knew instantly this was what we were looking for.
Tim knew instantly. I did not know instantly. But
it met all the criteria we were looking for at that point. We wanted something with character. It wasn't a regular location for a store. It was interesting. You know, so it meant a lot of, you know, it had opportunity for growth. It was very cool looking.
Yeah, it was
unique. It was in our hometown.
Very unique. So we decided we wanted to buy the building, but unfortunately it had gone into foreclosure. So we couldn't buy the building until almost 6 months later. And we had to go to the courthouse in Schoharie and stand in the lobby with anybody else who might show up to buy the property.
To bid on it. Yeah.
So we were the only ones, thankfully. So we got the property. And then it started. We had to do cleanup, broken windows, repairs.
A lot of...
Painting, cleaning,
yeah, cleaning.
That kind of stuff. And in the interim of this whole process, Tim asked me to marry him, and I said yes. So,
because she fell in love with me.
So we ended up, while we were planning our wedding for 320 people, we also opened Grapevine. So the day of our wedding was the first day that we were open for business. Yeah. So that's our backstory.
That's a great story. And how many years now?
It'll be 21 in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So that being said, what is Grapevine Farms? For those who are not familiar,
Grapevine Farms, if you get a chance to come out to Cobleskill, we're on Route 7. It is a gift shop, restaurant, and wine cellar. Those have all developed over the years. And we do lunch every day, 11 to 3. Our store is open 7 days a week. And as well as the wine cellar. You can see us on Facebook if you want to like us on Facebook, or go on www.grapevinefarms.com. Shameless plug.
And those links will be in the description of the episode at the end.
For the folks who are interested in learning about what we do, what we offer, and what we are. And then, of course, we've got the ghosts.
Yeah.
So that leads perfectly into my next question. When did you start to think that Grapevine Farms was haunted?
Day one.
Very early on.
Right out the gate.
Tim was out flying, so he left me to do the heavy lifting here, which meant painting. So
painting and cleaning.
I was upstairs in what is now the candle room, and I was painting, and a friend of mine went into what we now call David's room to get something. And she comes back in, and she was pale. She looked like flustered. I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, there's a box in there, and it just moved, and there's nothing in the box. And she's like, I gotta go. I was like, okay, well, I gotta keep painting. So I kept painting until midnight, and I didn't think anything of it. And then we heard...
Didn't scare you?
No, because I thought it was kind of ridiculous. Like, boxes don't move with nothing in them.
But being here by yourself?
No. I don't easily scare. Which drives him crazy because he tries to scare everybody, but he can't scare me.
But it's a creepy. This house can be creepy.
The house, it can be creepy.
See, I'm finding some of this out myself for the first time. I'm like, worst.
So that was my first interaction with anything that was weird. Tim's stepdad was here doing some remodeling for us, and he heard an old man repeatedly tell him to go home, which he responded, "I'm not done yet. I have to get this project done." So he finished what he was doing, and he said something to Tim's mom, like, "I heard some really weird voices." And she's like, "Well, that's interesting, because at that point we were hearing some things from some of our customers." Mm. And he also heard children running around on the second floor.
Mm. Now, did this begin, because I do have some knowledge of the location because we've been here a lot, now did this happen before you discovered David Hiltz's tombstone in the basement, or after? And can you tell that story?
We found
David's tombstone like within a week of
We were actually cleaning up the property. You were still working. I was here.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I talked to you earlier that day, and I said, wouldn't it be funny if we found a gravestone or a body buried in the basement, or and it wasn't, gosh, not half hour.
No, he
hour
calls
later,
me like, "Oh my gosh, you're not gonna believe!
Believe I found a gravestone in the house."
So it was propped up against the back of the garage at the time.
Yes,
and it was in two pieces. There was a couple stones.
Yeah, there's a
there.
Couple. Well, his wife's stone too.
So what does every normal person do with gravestones? You brought them in the house.
Well, they were already in the house, so.
Well, they were outside the house. Then you
they
brought
were inside,
inside
the
house.
Garage.
They were inside the garage?
Yeah.
Didn't know that. I thought they were outside
the
garage.
What kind of self-discovery here on the panel?
I thought they were in the
never
outside
talked
of the
about
garage.
No, they're inside
Ooh,
the garage.
Ooh, so they were already... Yeah.
21 years, folks.
Didn't know that.
First. So we haven't talked about this in a long time.
So he's been... His stones have been inside.
So for the longest time, we just kept them in the house and just kept them hid.
We didn't want to tell anybody.
I don't think any. We didn't tell anybody.
No.
We didn't even tell the staff here. We kept it real quiet. We kept them. There's a million and one hiding places here, so we just kept them quiet. But over the years, there was always somebody saying something, or alluding to the fact that there's something going on upstairs. You would hear it once, you'd hear it twice.
And what the thing was is you hear the same story from people who didn't know each other. Mm. So then we started thinking, okay, so there might be something to this.
What are we going to do with that? Probably for the first, God, how many years? So we've only told people within the last 10?
Maybe 10 years?
So for 10 years, we kept it real quiet.
Yeah, we didn't. We shouldn't tell anybody that we're haunted.
Because we don't want to be known as the creepy store, the ghost store.
Well, we don't want to scare anyone away either.
What made you change your mind to suddenly embrace it as you have?
So,
good question.
I learned that there was a New York State Haunted History Trail and that we could advertise on it without costing anything.
Oh, there it is.
Practical. I like it.
There it is. I did not know that.
And we said, why not? Let's see what happens.
Because people were saying stuff and alluding to, and it just became kind of second nature to know when you see people running out of the store screaming.
Okay, that only happened once.
She left the store screaming.
She was screaming.
But how many people have said, there's something going on upstairs. Somebody has touched me. I saw something. I heard something. Somebody's watching me. I mean, if we had a dollar for every time we heard that.
Yeah, I had this one woman. She wanted a Vera Bradley backpack for her daughter, and we had already closed. And I was like, yeah, come on upstairs. So we got the backpack for her, and we're coming down the back stairs. She goes, I got this weird thing I want to tell you. I was like, hey, go ahead. She's like, well, so my daughter is sensitive, and she swears in that little room there's an old man in there. And then he's kind of creepy, and he just sits there and stares. I said, yeah, we've heard that before.
Numerous times.
So it's just like repeated stories that there's no way, because we hadn't told anybody.
No.
There's no way that people knew that story, which is
wild. Then, you know, during October and Halloween, as we're getting ready for now, we kind of embraced it more and just owned up to what we knew what was already going on here. And at that point, we contacted Orange County Paranormal to come out and kind of tell us what's going on out here. I mean, we're not experts by any means. What's going on? And can you come and look? And
yeah, we're
if we
curious.
Don't scare you too much, you come and do an investigation.
We were curious to find out who is here, why they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just a very practical free advertising business reason, which is completely
That's
understandable.
Exactly. That's actually how it happened.
No, I like it. It's just practical.
It's kind of weird, but
no,
I've forgotten.
I'm all about practicality. You know, it's absolutely perfect. So, as a business owner, what are some of the challenges that owning a known haunted building has presented you as business owners?
Challenges?
I think. The biggest challenge for me is that when people know that you're haunted, they want to have an experience every time they come here. And that's not necessarily going to happen. There's always something going on every day. There's not a day that something hasn't happened or something hasn't gone on or a light hasn't happened or a sound or a voice. But you're not guaranteed to see or hear or have an experience every time you're here. Now, if you go to the third floor, most likely you'll see an ornament spin. That's pretty much the easiest thing that happens here.
But sometimes it's you that has to, usually Tim has to ask to spin an ornament, and then they'll spin the ornament.
Because they're very much watchers. They'll engage sometimes, but not always. So it's kind of, I think, a letdown for folks who are very much into paranormal and having experience and seeing it on TV sometimes that something
it
may happen.
Makes it,
But that's
and
not
TV
always,
makes it glamorous.
That's not always
you know,
the case here.
A lot of times you don't hear it.
Yeah.
You capture it, you know, after the fact is when you know.
There have
you
been
got
cases
something.
Where people have had experiences here.
Oh,
great
yes.
for them. But not everybody gets an experience like that. And I think they're a little let down when they don't get to hear, see, or have a paranormal
yeah,
experience.
So it's like we can't guarantee
so
that you're going to have an experience.
That's probably the biggest, because people are, they want to question, they want to know the history of the house, they want to know so many things that have happened, that doesn't always happen.
One other kind of negative side effect is we have gotten a couple letters from people who don't think we should be promoting sure. that we have ghosts. You know, they say it's
the devil.
Yeah, it's stuff. Like dabbling in things that you shouldn't be.
Contingents of people who believe that it's blasphemous.
We have had a few of those letters coming in that said you don't know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. Leave it alone.
But we've always been very respectful, and we don't let anybody come in and mm-hmm. do any kind of investigation unless we know
either
they're
we're
respectful
with them, mm-hmm. or we know their work. Most of the times,
we haven't had a problem with anyone being disrespectful.
No,
but.
Yeah. You also vet people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very much.
More so than most definitely. Locations where we actually.
Yeah, know. And we
most
stay,
of the time
usually
we,
stay with them. Well, one, you got to make sure nobody pockets anything.
It is. It is. There's a lot
it's a store.
And that's not just Emily with the bottles of wine downstairs. That's
I think
that's
we
everybody.
Say no to more people that have asked to come than we've allowed to be here. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
We've passed on a lot of people, and a lot of organizations, and a lot of groups, and that either don't quite jive up with what we're looking for, or they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And
but we've kind of grown attached to our spirits.
Yeah.
We're protective of them, and I feel like they're protective of us.
Now we say spirits. We've talked about David Hiltz, but there has been a lot of evidence of other spirits. Can you? I almost have to call it a roster because there are a
we
lot
do have
of
a
spirits
roster,
here.
Don't we? Yes.
Can you give the listeners an idea of just a rundown of who you've encountered and who you have evidence of existing?
Yes. So we have a young man upstairs on the third floor. We believe that he was a Revolutionary War
soldier.
Mm-hmm. He's the one that turns the ornaments, I believe, and I think he's the one that plays with the lights. So we know when we shut the
now
lights off.
What about
off,
the lights, Tim? What's the, Tim's the one who gets the lights.
They're usually, we turn all the lights off. Growing up, we were always told, you know, make sure you turn all the lights off. We're very, very cautious about.
Yeah, and the staff, I mean, they have the checklist.
So
they
has,
shut the lights off.
You know, and there'll be nights, because we also live here, that we'll be going out to either put the animals away, and we'll look up, and the lights on the third floor are usually on, knowing darn well that I've turned them off myself. So
I'll get a text from Tim two or three times a year of a photo of the attic
like
light
the light
on. He'll say they're at
on.
It again. So
they,
this is something
you
that
never
does
know what's going to happen. But I said there's always something going on. Mm-hmm. Either there'll be a sound, a banging. There's always something.
And that's the soldier.
It's never not.
In the
so
attic.
That's the soldier in the attic.
Moving down.
So then on the second floor. So David,
David's
used to be the children's room.
The
well,
one
it's
we,
children's room again.
Now it's their children's
but
room.
But we basically call it David's room now because that's where he is. Tim captured what we believe is a photo of him.
Yes.
That was during our first
it's
ever.
It's very compelling to see this photo.
That was like, wow. And the photo is like you can see a face, but you can also see a light, which we cannot explain. There was no light shining on the wall.
There was no. There was one light. Dan was holding the light, but there's the second light. Is
yeah. So it was.
Where did that come from?
So it was kind of a creepy picture.
And where
picture.
Did the face come from above it?
But that's where everyone sees him, is mm-hmm. in that room. Yeah. And another kind of funny story, during COVID, we would do Facebook Lives, and we were in that room, and I said, oh, we're in the room where we believe David Hiltz is, and I said, well, he's a curmudgeon, and boom, there goes our signal. Dropped right after
we were actually watching when that happened.
Right after I called him a curmudgeon, I was like, yeah. I'm sorry, David. I didn't mean that.
Then his wife, Effie, is upstairs.
Kids. We have kids that run the hallway upstairs. So we actually had an employee who she would come in at night and like decorate trees and stuff, and they would run around the Christmas tree. She just kept doing her work. And
then the Effie's autograph in the glass with her ring, that's something you can see up there also, as well as her stone is on the second floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's you said children.
Children,
obviously playing with the toys. Where do you have you any idea of where they may have come from?
So we've had Katie Manning out here several times. She's
a very highly respected local psychic medium for upstate New York.
She's fantastic.
Yes.
She's fantastic. She walked through the building, and what she told us when she went in that room is that she believes that several children passed away in the room at the top of the stairs on the left during a flu epidemic in the early 1900s. Which kind of fits the time frame and the kids are running around laughing, and I think they play jokes and stuff too.
And then Michael
is
downstairs.
We have a sad Michael. He's 8 years old and he is in the old side of the building in the basement. We have captured probably the most about him. He cries, but he also plays. He likes Dan.
Michael will tug on my vest almost every time we're down there. It's just something he does. Yeah. I've come to expect it, but he always does it when
we don't know much about him. We know he's there. We know his age.
We know, we've asked him some questions. We asked him if he lived in the building. He said no. So we don't know much more about him. We did a paranormal dinner and then a tour, and he scratched one of our gals that was on the tour. I think he was trying to tug on her.
I mean, that's not that isn't necessarily a negative thing. That's
no, I think
attention.
He was trying to tug on her. He tugs on you like playing hide and seek. And he just, caught her.
So you have three distinct. And then you did some remodeling to your wine cellar during COVID, and I believe
we don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, we're not sure what.
That's still uncharted territory.
Yeah, we're not sure what's going on. It sounds like a party.
Yeah,
we've gotten a lot of laughter. We've gotten some songs, but we haven't gotten a name.
Yeah, we're not sure who they are.
I don't believe we've gotten a name from anybody yet, or what's actually going down over there.
But I think they're having fun.
It sounds like it.
Well, yes. If you watch some of the recordings on Grapevine Farms, you will hear clearly the laughter.
It's a very
and the good times they're having over there.
Cackly laughter.
It's a very good time they're having.
Yes.
That one. Everything we've seen on that one so far points to a residual energy.
That one probably scares me the most.
The cackling laugh?
Yeah.
When we've done events here, that's the one that gets the most response.
If
you watch any of the episodes, that's the one that will make your...
Oh, my favorite episode?
Which one?
Is when Tim was in the basement and he didn't know that the REM pod was down there, and it went off and it scared the daylights out of him. And he went...
Well, when you're not familiar with and you're new to this whole paranormal investigation thing, and I don't know what all this equipment is and what you're doing and where you're going to be and what it sounds like and what will any of that.
Of course, the whole thing was caught on camera.
Yes, and it was, and we play it all the time.
Fortunately, it was caught on camera.
And he ran up the stairs just as fast as he could go.
And to be fair to Tim, I'm always bringing new stuff with us every time. So
that scared the hell out of me. I think I was more afraid of knowing what would happen next, because I wasn't prepared to see something.
He wasn't going
to
stick around.
No. Next. If you watch the video, you'll see. But
it was comical.
I just wasn't ready for whatever, because it just kept going off, and I'm like, oh my god.
So it's quite a group. I've said before that by square foot, this is one of the most haunted places, because it's not a gigantic location. But the question is, you've got a lot of people living here tax-free and rent-free, but has it ever caused you any staffing problems?
The only problem with staff is some people don't want to go upstairs by themselves at night when it gets dark out. So they would go in a pair and shut the lights off. But other than that...
And they won't stay here.
Yeah, nobody wants to sleep
nobody
here.
Nobody will sleep here.
Except Emily.
Yeah, except Emily, who has slept in
the wine
cellar.
She'll sleep anywhere. Well, that didn't sound good either.
She slept next to David Hiltz's tombstone one night.
She slept places I wouldn't even dream of sleeping.
Really?
Doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
It sounds like she sleeps around.
But
not true. Sorry, love you, Emily.
Emily's just off camera.
She's
like, what?
Can we edit?
We might have to. So how does your, how have you trained your staff or instructed your staff on how to handle customer questions as it pertains to this? Do you have to even?
We do a bit. Should we do more? Absolutely. Because we've got a lot of new staff right now. So that don't really know what to expect. Same goes for, you know, the what is in this room. This is all family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube and Facebook, my camera feed is, this is all family photos behind
So they're not just bought.
Yeah.
I mean, we are a store, but a lot of this stuff is really belongs to our families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So educating people on, you know, what is here.
But we also have heard that some of our family members like to hang around here too.
So. Yes, we've heard that.
Which is kind of cool.
Do you tell people before you hire them?
No.
No. Well, we might mention it.
Don't apply for a job at Great Pushback.
Let's surprise them.
but it's never been
it's
a
never
problem.
Been an issue.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
The staff are
I mean, we, you know,
they're
clarify.
Aware.
There's nothing malicious.
And half of them are way on board with what's going on here anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like to stay for the investigations. They like to hear what's going on.
I find that there
is... It's intriguing to know, to figure out something you don't really know about.
Well, your staff's either one or the other. They're either all in or I'm going home.
Yes.
Like, there's nobody who's kind of interested. They seem to... It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you've had a lot of paranormal investigators come through here.
Yes.
A lot of paranormal, different people with different styles. I say on the podcast all the time, there's 10,000 groups doing this 10,000 ways.
Yes.
What have you learned about it, about investigating the paranormal from the groups that have come through?
One, that the story is always has been consistently the same from what we hear from everybody. Different techniques, how everybody does it. Everybody has a different way of doing it. I can't say that it's good, it's bad. I guess it decides.
But
what
I think
works
everyone that we've worked with has taken a scientific approach, where they'll, you know, see something, and then now you got to figure out what was it? Mm-hmm. Was it the car going by? Was it, you know? So I think everyone's had that approach.
Because I mean, of all the groups we've had in, everybody has come back and said the same thing.
Yeah, and everybody's captured something.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has captured something.
So when I interviewed Rhea Hayes, who was executive director of a haunted location, I asked her this question, and I will ask it to you as well. Mm-hmm. You've had good experiences with paranormal groups. Do you, without naming names, do you have any funny stories of misadventures with paranormal group that you brought in and were like, oh boy? Because not everybody, I mean, there's some amazing people doing this, but there's always folks who do things that are a little bit out there that were like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
Usually I just hang out in the apartment and Tim deals with everybody.
To be nice about it, they all have different ways of doing their research. It must work for them. Some of it I find to be absolute waste of time and crazy.
What's the craziest thing? Yeah. Like I said, without naming any names, because it's not what we're about.
The one group, they're watching, they're going to know who they are. They just had a different way of doing it. And it obviously worked for them. We have been spoiled by having Orange County Paranormal here often and finding out things the way that the scientific method, and it works better for us.
We had one group come, and actually more what they got was around Tim and not the spirits in the house. It was, they picked up spirits following Tim, which
Tim is a walking trigger.
Very interesting. He definitely is.
But I'm going to be really polite about it and say everybody has a different way of doing it. Either it's very organized and put together well, or it's a hot mess when they get here. And you just have to sit there and watch and say, what are you guys doing? Oh my God, you waste so much time with what they were doing. It was, and we'd never heard from them again. So I don't know whatever happened, but they were just... It was real scattered.
But like with Orange County, they are very professional, and you guys have amazing equipment.
But you show us the results too.
And we,
a lot of places don't show results.
We always get to see the results. And some people come in with like two pieces of equipment. And you're like, okay, what are you going to get with that? So yeah, definitely.
Well, everybody
Orange
has
County's,
their own way to do it.
Everybody does have their own.
All you really need to be a paranormal investigator is an open mind and a digital recorder. Some of us choose to go equipment heavy. Some of us do not. But 10,000 groups do it 10,000 ways.
Yeah. Everybody has
their
own way.
I've seen quite a few of them. Some are welcome to come back. Some will never be able to come back again.
So, we talked about staffing. We've talked about the letters you receive. We talked about the customers, people who are interested. What kind of events have you done here to, you know, help grow your business, but also, you know, educate folks on the spirits that you have?
Boy, so we've done events with Orange County. We've done like a dinner and then
presentation,
go over the findings that we've encountered here. Then we've taken people around the building and, you know, given them some equipment and have them, you know, try to find something themselves. We've had several mediums come in. We've had a numerologist.
Mm-hmm.
And what else have we had?
God, there's been so many different things. You do so many events, especially around October. People really start buying into it more in October. But just a lot of different events with people. People are always interested in what's on the other side and how do you know and how do you prove what you're really doing.
But our events are very popular and they sell out really quickly.
Immediately.
And it's been very beneficial to the business then.
Yes. Sure. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Which at the end of the day keeps you here and keeps folks coming through here and keeps people being able to come through here to interact with the spirits. So
yeah.
I always maintain it's a win-win.
And thankfully we have good spirits.
Sure.
You know, if we had a bad one, then wouldn't be in on the trail. But no, ours are, I actually feel like they protect us, so.
Now we've become, after 21 years, you've become, you know they're here, but we've become very used to it, so it doesn't bother.
Like, they've never scared me. They're,
no. Yeah, you live
either
here.
One of us. We live here.
I'm not in touch. I don't feel that way.
We're not very sensitive.
No. not in that manner.
But, so, yeah. So, they haven't scared us, and hopefully they don't scare us.
Well, you've been here for long enough where if they wanted to, they would have.
Yes.
But
all
the evidence that we've ever gotten here, I mean, I like Tim every single time. Around with Tim, he's a walking trigger object.
So, one thing we haven't talked about, which is very interesting, is we've had people who used to live in this house or were babysitters in this house like 50, 70 years ago, and they come back and tell us their experiences. We had one babysitter who there was a finished basement and they would be down there with the kids playing and she'd hear something crash and she'd run upstairs and nothing was out of place.
Hmm.
You know, so we get those stories like from people who used to live here, like they had things happen that they couldn't explain.
Well, I mean, the origin of most of the spirits here is thought to be the 19th century. So that would make some sense that 60 years ago. But it is interesting to think the same stuff that we're seeing today,
mm-hmm.
they were seeing. And I did not know that. I've never heard that before. That's amazing.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So do you offer private investigations if people want to come in?
We do, but we are particular. So we will vet you and most likely make you pay.
As most places do, there's a rate that all locations charge,
and it happens a lot already.
Mm-hmm.
But we are very picky.
Yeah,
we will look at your videos and listen to your
because we're not
going to
be doing TikToks and.
But as a result, you've had some really good people come through over the years.
We have.
Oh yeah,
the folks you get are in it for the right reasons.
Yes.
And those are the folks you want.
Yeah.
I still maintain most haunted by square foot of any place. You mentioned it before, but I'll ask you to plug it again. Where can the listeners find Grapevine Farms, both physically, on the web, on social media?
So, of course, on Facebook. on the website, www.grapevinefarms.com. You can...
2373 State Route 7.
There you go.
Cobleskill.
Give us a call, 518-234-9148. Stop in, do your shopping, do a little wine tasting.
And visit our
have
spirits.
Have lunch and visit our spirits.
No, absolutely. And I want to thank you both for the insight of you know, what we don't think about when we talk about paranormal locations that are both their businesses, that are homes. Yeah. You know, there are folks who have to run that business. And when you got into it, you didn't necessarily expect this.
No, we really didn't.
But you ended up with all these extras.
Well, because we both were very skeptical. Sure. Him more than myself.
Sure. I think it took me a long time to believe something was going on. Even though you hear people saying it, you know, until you experience it yourself.
Was it when the dog licked Dan?
Could have been.
I think that's when he changed his mind.
Could have been.
They're referencing one of the first times here, my hand was on the floor and it got licked by the dog I know what dogs licking the hand feels like, and that's what it felt like, and I nearly jumped through the ceiling because that was startling.
I remember that moment.
And yeah.
But what they didn't know at the time is that I wasn't feeling well, so I was in our apartment, and I said, Lily, who was our first dog, had passed away, and I said, Lily, if you're here, you need to go find Daddy and make sure they know you're here. And I didn't tell them.
I didn't tell you.
No.
It was a test of us.
So, no, it wasn't even, it was just, like, it just happened.
And it happened, and then I came back and told you what had happened.
The next morning, you're like, oh, Dan got licked by a dog. I said, oh, my God.
And those videos of those investigations all up on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Yeah. I'll put some links at the end of the description, along with Grapevine Farms contact information, so you can come visit this wonderful place and these wonderful people in person. Sure. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about your experience and your journey. And again, what we talk about all the time, right? 10,000 people do it 10,000 ways, but there are so many stories behind these haunted locations that we go to, and that's what we're striving to bring to you, because their stories are relatable. Think about it. You start a business, you start a life, you get married the same day you open your store, and all of a sudden you have all these roommates that you didn't expect. And what would you do? What would you do in that situation? Leave a comment when you subscribe, rate, and review of what you would do in that situation, because you can do what Tim and Tracy did and just go with the flow and, hey, everybody's welcome, and, you know, we'll respect you, you respect us, and we'll make this work. Not everybody does that, and not everybody can do that, and not everybody has the fortitude and the courage to do that. So their journey has always fascinated me, and I hope you found their journey very interesting. I know I always have. In terms of what we are up to, at the end, I'd like to give you a little bit of an update. Well, I'm sitting at Grapevine Farm, so you'll never guess what we're doing here tonight. We'll be doing an investigation here. We actually did back-to-back investigations of a community center in Lyons and then here at Grapevine, a place we've investigated a lot. Those videos will be coming out over the next couple of weeks. October is coming up, so we'll be posting a lot of the events we'll be doing. We'll be posting on our social media, and we'll be continuing to update and share and do all of these things to bring these kind of situations to you. I think Tim and Tracy's story is not only a great story, but I think it's also incredibly relatable. And, you know, you buy a business, you come in, and you have one expectation of what your life's going to be, what your business is going to be, what your day-to-day routine is going to be. Then you find out that there are spirits. And then you realize there isn't a single day that's going to be normal. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.